Welcome back, everybody. It is starting to get down to those ungodly AM hours, but
It's the middle of the night, Chad.
It is Hoops HD's Championship Week Video Notebook, day number six.
Six, correct? Yeah.
I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by the puppet, David Griggs. We think John Salica fell asleep on us already, so he's not here tonight.
I fell asleep once, remember that?
I might fall asleep before this show is done tonight. But this is our Championship Week Video Notebook, where we do news and notes at the beginning. We're going to review all the conference tournament games, preview tomorrow's games, update our survival board, a few more things for fun as well. We got a lot to get to. It was a fairly busy night, at least outside of the conference tournaments tonight.
Yeah.
So I'll spend about 5 minutes on that.
Okay. So
the big game. Let's start with actually the Villanova Creighton game. That was probably the biggest game heading into the day. Ended up being a Nova blowout most of the game. Creighton did try to close late, but didn't have enough. But the big news, I think even more so, was Colin Gillespie for Villanova, David.
And it was real unfortunate because I just remember watching the game thinking this is the best Villanova has looked in a while, and they hadn't looked bad. I don't want to overstate it, but they hadn't looked like top 10 Villanova, one seed caliber Villanova. They had slipped a little bit. They'd lost a couple games or not played well in games that you thought they'd either win or play better. And for the first 25, 30 minutes, they look fantastic. And then to lose a key player like that is just kind of devastating.
He's going to have an MRI in the morning, but Jay Wright said after the game, it is serious. And that is kind of scary, honestly.
Yeah, and that's not a word that you want to hear, well, ever. But I mean, you know, as a team, it affects their long-term prospects of like what their ceiling is in the NCAA tournament. But you know, let's keep everything in perspective here. You hope for him as an individual, he's able to recover and get well.
A few other games. The Oregon UCLA game went up being a pretty good game the entire way. Oregon pulled away about the last 5 minutes to win it by about 10. I think it was around a 10-point final margin, but nice win for Oregon, who is moving closer and closer to being locked into the field. I think they might be locked in next time we do our survival board. For that, but I think. And UCLA, I don't take anything away from them for having lost this game.
No, not at all. Oregon, they've battled COVID protocol, and I think that's taken them a while to get their motors starting. But we've seen this from Oregon before, and Dana Altman before, where they start off okay, but then they are thundering down the stretch. You may remember the last time we had an NCAA tournament, Chad. Oregon, a Sweet 16 team. What you probably don't remember was they would not have been in the round of 64 had they not won the Pac-12 tournament. They were not inside the bubble. But what did they win? 9 of their last 10 of their regular season games. I mean, they were the hottest team going into the conference tournament. And I think they are again.
David, if you click up there on the top of the website, there is the tournament that wasn't tab. It was our simulated tournament from last year. Oregon was your national champion last year, according to that.
Yeah, I mean, that's remarkable.
They won a non-tournament. A few other notes here. Pretty good game. Missouri picks up a nice road win. Florida ends their losing streak, which was they really needed that win. I think they lost 4 in a row heading into that game.
They had, and yeah, they needed it. I don't think they were in any danger of missing the field, but they needed it more for their mental health than anything else. A big win on the road, and they were behind in that game. They came behind the win, they came from behind the win.
That was a nice win. UConn picks up a nice road win at Seton Hall. Looking more and more like a solid tournament team, while Seton Hall is now probably on the bad side of the bubble.
I would agree with that. And I've liked the Hall all year. There's things on their resume that do look good. But one of the things that doesn't look good is them on the court.
Yeah, they're not looking good right now. Team that is suddenly actually looking good. Syracuse with a home win over Clemson. The Cuse suddenly, I still don't think they're there, but they have to be in any serious bubble discussion at this point with this victory.
I agree. And, you know, some real big wins in the last couple of weeks and, you know, against a real good Clemson team. Clemson, not the best road team, though, but still a real nice win by Syracuse. And Jim Boeheim said something, I think, during a Zoom post-game press conference after their last game, where he said, "I'm 5'2" and I never played. I'm not qualified to comment on Syracuse basketball." And based on that comment alone, I think the committee should take them because – that is brilliant.
I thought he was saying that to a reporter.
He said that to a reporter.
Okay, yeah.
But I love that he said it.
Okay. I don't think the reporter did. But, David, a few other games to note here. A couple upset losses we got to discuss in the Big Ten. Minnesota, except that anybody thought they had any outside shot remaining, they go and they lose at Penn State. They end up winless on the road for the season. I think it's the second time now under Richard Pitino they've gone winless on the road. Minnesota is pretty much toast. I mean, if they make a run, if they beat Rutgers on Saturday and then make a run to the Big Ten championship game, we could talk about them again, maybe. But they're done in my book, though, I think.
Yeah, we'll leave them in italics, but I haven't been. Minnesota had some wins early in the year that really made you sit up and take notice, but you can't just win. You have to win something away from home. They haven't.
And they're playing lousy basketball now, honestly. Yeah.
There's that, too.
Maryland, huge upset loss at Northwestern tonight. You know, I don't think it cost Maryland. I think Maryland's still in the field. I think they had a little room to play with because of how hot they've been. But just a surprising loss there, Northwestern knocking them off. And USC absolutely demolished Stanford, and that might be the end of Stanford. I know they've been dealing with injuries, but they've just losing too many games at this point.
Yeah, and they did not mess around losing tonight. I mean – they did not leave anything to chance. They just got blown out of the gym.
A couple under the radar conference notes. Also, Abilene Christian picked up a real nice close win on a buzzer beater by Colton Cole at the at Stephen F. Austin. Their first win ever at SFA, and they remain in the first place tie there with Sam Houston State and Nicholls State in the loss column at least.
Yeah, good season for SFA, but no postseason. They won their appeal to be banned.
Yeah, they are on an APR ban. They will not be in the Southland tournament. One last note here. Eastern Washington, the leaders of the Big Sky, suffer as a home loss to Idaho State tonight. Surprising home loss that puts Southern Utah into first place in the Big Sky at the moment.
Yeah, very shocking. And oh my God, the Villanova injury. I have that on television here. I did not see it live. That is a nasty looking injury.
Yeah, it is not looking good for Gillespie, and you know, just pray that he's okay.
Sorry to disrupt. I know we covered that already.
Okay. Well, let's get into the conference tournament games, though, for today. Let's start things off with what we had this morning and early afternoon in the Atlantic 10, a pair of games. Let's start with the St. Joe's LaSalle game, though, where this St. Joe's team, ever since Ryan Daly's come back, has been on the team here. They've been red hot. They haven't lost a game yet. And they were able to pull this one out over Big Five rival LaSalle this morning, David.
Yeah, and a fun game to watch. It was close all the way through. It was a rivalry game. Both these games really fun, actually. And I know that these are opening round and you don't really expect them to impact the later rounds. But maybe they will. St. Joe's, I mean, let's not get carried away. They didn't exactly blow out LaSalle, but the way they've been playing over the last four games, I bet UMass is not thrilled to be facing them.
No, they're not. We'll get to the games tomorrow in a second here. I just want to quickly talk about the other game, the GW Fordham. GW got out to a big lead early, a 15-point lead real early in the game. Fordham came storming back, cut it to three by halftime, and stayed right in there until a Jamison Battle three-pointer with just seconds left gave GW the lead, and then they made a few three throws. But Fordham almost came up with the win and showed a lot more life than I thought they would in this game.
Yeah, I agree. So that sets up, you know, the Mason-Washington rivalry.
The Battle of the Georges. Yep.
Yeah.
We do have four games that will come up tomorrow now. The early game is Richmond-Duquesne, UMass versus St. Joe's, Dayton-Rhode Island, GW George-Washington. And I think George Mason is going to roll GW tomorrow, David, but I think the other three games are all very interesting games.
I agree. And George Mason's George Washington, interesting just if for no other reason because of the rivalry, but I agree. Mason clearly the better team. Richmond, I say I'm giving up on them, but if they win tomorrow, I'm going to like their chances on Friday. UMass Joe's, we kind of alluded to that one already. St. Joseph's suddenly becoming quite a story. And if they can get the win tomorrow, do you start to believe a little bit?
I am going to, if they get the win tomorrow. Now, I think UMass of the top maybe eight teams is probably the weakest of those eight teams.
Yeah.
I don't think they're really the fifth best team in the conference. They're probably about the ninth or tenth best team
Yeah,
in this
they
conference.
yeah, I
So
agree
that gives
because
St. Joe's a chance, I think. I think they've got the right matchup. If I could choose anybody on the top eight seed lines to play, I would have chosen UMass. St. Louis, if they get to St. Louis on Friday, it starts to become interesting. You're right.
yeah.
It's also a St. Joe's team. Remember, they played Monday night, so they will end up having to play five games in 6 days to just make it to the championship game, and then the championship game a week later. So it's a
Yeah, it's kind of like a high school basketball tournament here where you've got teams playing every day for a week.
Dayton, Rhode Island team that was really good early in the season. They fell off, really kind of fell off the face of the planet there. A Dayton team that really struggled early and came on strong late. So that would tell you that Dayton should beat Rhode Island, but I think that could be a good one too.
Yeah, and I agree. NBC Sports tomorrow, they don't get a lot of telecasts, but if you're looking for the games and you're wondering why they're not on ESPN Plus, NBC Sports Network.
NBC Sports Network, they're using two buildings, so there will be no delay. They'll go right from the 8-9 game. As soon as that ends, it should go right into the UMass St. Joe's game at the other
Yeah.
building. And then repeat that for the 3:30 and 5:30 games. Patriot League, we had a single game today because, as we mentioned last night, Holy Cross got shut down, so Loyola got automatically advanced to the quarterfinals. BU Lehigh, it was a game that they played, I guess, is, it really
Yeah.
was not a very, BU was kind of up about 8 to 10 points the whole game, and Lehigh never made a run, was my impression.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. And we get to see Colgate and Boston U play tomorrow.
No, we don't. We get that Saturday.
Oh, we get that
This
Saturday.
is
I'm
a
sorry.
campus site one, so we'll have a couple of days off. So we'll
Okay.
actually take a closer look. We'll do our Friday night show at those Saturday games. But BU does advance to a matchup with Colgate, which will be the seventh time I believe these two teams have played this season
Yeah,
now.
I was about to say, we haven't seen, in case you missed the first sixth, here comes game seven.
And I believe I heard this is actually going to be the third straight year they've met in the Patriot League tournament as well. So just a little fun factoid there.
Next year, they should not play each other at all. They should structure the conference schedule to where you don't play the teams you played this year.
If Colgate loses this game, they will have finished the season with a top 20 net and only having played three teams all season. So
Yes.
they've only played Army, Holy Cross, and BU. That's it.
Yeah.
OVC though, it was first quarterfinal day, first two of the four quarterfinals today, beginning with Belmont SIU Edwardsville, where Mazinski was back, although he only had limited play today. They kind of were easing him back in, but Edwardsville kept it closer than I thought they would, David.
Yeah, I mean, they were never really in. I mean, they were never really in control of the game. Belmont pretty much led tip the buzzer, but every time Belmont looked like they were going to blow it open, Evansville would go on a run or do something to keep it close. But Belmont not really sweating either in this
Yeah.
one.
The late game was a lot more interesting. I thought beginning the game, Morehead State was just going to blow them out. They jumped out to a 7-0 lead with Shanai Broome scoring all 7 points, including one of the most insane underhand scoop shots you've ever seen in your life, where he basically went around a guy and scoop. His hand was practically on the floor when he scooped it up, it looked like. After that, Simo got back into the game. It was close all the way until about the last 4 or 5 minutes. Broome did end up with a double double, though, had a real good game.
Yeah, he really did. In as an individual, but Simo, it's the third time they've played, and they were. This is a Simo team that got noticeably better as the season went along. I think this is the first time they've been in the conference tournament in about 2 or 3 years. They were on an APR ban for a while, like they really had nothing going. Preston Spradlin, coach of the year for Morehead State, but how about the job Brad Korn did here in his first year? And I mean, let's not get carried away. They're the seventh place team, but that's a lot better than the last place team. And the other thing about SEMO was how much better they looked at the end of the year than they did at the beginning of conference play. And I just think that it's a great hire. I think that they have a vision, and I do think that SEMO is going to get there.
I agree with you. I think this is a program definitely on the rise. Which kind of leads to, and let's go talk about that tomorrow, though. We are going to have the other two quarterfinal games, which I really think are the pair of them are going to be very interesting games. Jacksonville State and Murray State, two teams that are playing, are two of the hotter teams in the conference heading into the conference tournament. And then at EKU and Austin Peay in the 3-6 game, where an Austin Peay team that we thought could contend for this conference tournament, conference title this year, kind of had a disappointing year. I've had a lot of defensive issues this year, honestly, but you know, they've got the talent there to hang with EKU also.
They definitely do. Terry Taylor, probably, well, easily the best player in the conference. This Eastern Kentucky Austin Peay game is going to be really fun. And I think not only that, like, the winner of that game has a chance at knocking off Moorhead. The last time they played Eastern Kentucky split with Moorhead and Austin Peay lost by a point. So that is a potentially rough semifinal game.
What about this Jacksonville State-Murray State game, David? What do you see happening in that one?
Murray State's been kind of disappointing. Jack State been, I mean, as a whole on the year, Jack State has been hot and cold. I think Jack State gets it done, but I don't think either one, whoever wins that game, I think Belmont's not going to have too much trouble with it.
Hopefully, assuming Mazinski, you know, they're going to have a day off, so Tiff to rest him, and then we'll see, you know, if he's looking a lot better than he did today come Friday, I think Belmont's going to cruise although you did see, you know, look like some of the other players around him, just him being on the court takes some of the pressure off of his teammates, which is, that was it for today's games and those two conferences, but we have a few other conferences that are either back in action or starting off. Let's start with a couple conferences that are starting off, a new conference we have not yet discussed at all yet, the Atlantic Sun Conference. We have quarterfinal day tomorrow in the Atlantic Sun. This tournament is being played in Jacksonville on two different courts, both North Florida and Jacksonville's court. Jacksonville themselves not participating because they had COVID issues, which knocked out the 8-9 game that was
and made way for Kennesaw.
It made way for that got Kennesaw up around, but. David, let's start with the two 2 o'clock games, Liberty, Kennesaw, North Florida, North Alabama. Well, actually, let's look at all four of them, then Bellarmine, Stetson, and Gulf Coast, Lipscomb. Do you see any upsets in those four games?
I do not.
No? Okay.
No. If there's going to be one, it's going to be the 4-5 game. I don't know if that's really an upset.
I keep an eye on Gulf Coast there against Lipscomb. I think that could be an upset too. We know our good friend Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org loves this Kennesaw team, but they're over their heads with Liberty, honestly. Right. Liberty crushed Bellarmine on the road to end the regular season in a.
Liberty's in really good.
Quick note here, should Bellarmine or North Alabama win this conference tournament, Liberty gets the automatic bid. Also, should Liberty win the conference tournament, they get the automatic bid. The conference does recede into the semifinals, but David, who do you see winning it all?
Liberty.
I agree with you. I don't think Liberty's going to need help from North Alabama or Bellarmine, who are ineligible for the NCAA tournament as transitional teams. I think Liberty's going to get it done themselves. They might play Bellarmine in the finals. I would not be surprised to see Bellarmine win.
Yeah, Bellarmine having a great year, and that would be a program statement win, winning a conference tournament as a transitional team. Never been done before that I know of.
No.
There's
been very few transitional teams that have even played in conference.
Correct,
tournaments.
Yeah.
Another conference kicking things off tomorrow, and this is one of the ones we've been really looking forward to, is the Missouri Valley Conference. It is first round day. We've got Bradley Southern Illinois and Northern Iowa against Illinois State. Those are the two games tomorrow. So let's start with that, David. Do you see either one of the 9 or the 10 seeds winning?
I could see the Salukis doing it. There have been times this year where they've looked really good.
Bradley's won like eight Arch Madness games in a row now, or six or something.
Yeah, but Bradley has looked better. I don't think Illinois State, the Redbirds, have much of a chance against Northern Iowa. But having said that, I think the two winners tomorrow is that is as far as they go.
Yeah. All right. Well, then who do you see winning this? Obviously, Loyola Chicago, probably in, even if they lose their quarterfinal game. But if they win one, and definitely if they win two, I think they're in no matter whether they get
the I think Loyola Chicago is already in.
The big question would be Drake's chances for an automatic bid. Bid.
I think if they lose to Illinois Chicago, it will be close. There's too many moving parts with the other teams on the bubble. One of the things that they're facing is the injuries to two key players. I know they're getting one of them back.
Yeah, Tank Campbell is supposed to be back. Roman Payne is done for the year. They definitely have to win the 7-10 game on Friday.
I think they
probably need to beat the Missouri State Valpo winner also on Saturday, though.
I would agree with that.
And it may be Loyola they have to lose to if they don't win the
I think that if they win into the championship game and lose to Loyola, they'll be close. If they do anything other than that, I don't think they go.
Are you picking Loyola to win this?
I am. Yeah,
I'm with you there. I'm kind of keeping an eye on this Missouri State team, though. You know, I want Drake in the NCAA tournament, but I don't know that they're going to get by Missouri State. And I think Missouri State could actually win the entire conference tournament. They're kind of my dark horse.
They're playing really well, and it's not a bad dark horse. I mean, I'm not going to pick them, but I will echo your sentiments on them. They are playing extremely well right now.
All right. Let's go to another conference that's starting tomorrow, and the 357 round West Coast Conference Tournament.
That is just the most ridiculous looking bracket. I say that every year, but it is the case. Look at that bracket.
It is the ultimate long giant ladder beginning tomorrow with San Francisco against San Diego and Santa Clara against Portland. As far as I know, these games are a go. I know Portland had a shutdown, but I think that they're healthy for tomorrow night's game. All indications are that they are. As far as these two games go tomorrow night and late tomorrow night, David, the big question I have for you is who cares?
San Francisco, you know, they do have the win against Virginia under their belt. There have been times where they've looked pretty good. It wouldn't shock me if they beat LMU. I know LMU is also playing really well right now. But I could see Santa Clara also knocking off Pacific and getting themselves into, I think that's the 18th round. But
at the end of the day, David, question number one. Well, I'm not even going to ask the question if Gonzaga is going to win this. I'll throw a stat out there. The Jerome, which is a competition to basically guess who's going to win all the conference tournaments, had about 1,150 or so entries this year. For the West Coast Conference, they gave it options. Instead of all the teams, they give you option of the Gonzaga or the field. Of over 1,100 entries, about 45 people chose the field. Everyone else took Gonzaga.
I've never done the Jerome. Would it, as a strategy, in order to win it, do you have to pick things to happen no one else picks? It might not be a bad pick to pick the field.
Yeah, but in most conferences, you get every team as a choice. But the Zags are going to win this conference tournament. I'm not even going to ask you that question. I think the only question to ask is, do they play BYU in the final, or does Pepperdine or something knock off BYU?
They do, and regardless of what happens, BYU and Gonzaga are going, and no one else, because if someone upsets BYU, they're not going to upset Gonzaga.
Well, one more conference. It is the first conference to have reached the semifinal stage. Coming up tomorrow, a big South.
The Wynwood Cup!
We've got a couple of games. The first game is actually the Radford Campbell game, David. So now these games are on campus site. So Campbell at Radford. I would not be shocked to see Campbell win it. I'm going to pick Radford, but I think Campbell is going to stay close in this game.
Fair enough. I can see that. I like how they played in their semifinal game and kind of how they've been playing down the stretch. But I still like Radford to win it.
And Winthrop and Longwood in the other game. I think Winthrop is going to roll Longwood, honestly.
But you never know
in a rivalry game, especially when it's something kind of
as
like
prestigious as the Wynwood Cup.
Kind of like this.
I'll be back in the holiday. All the doors like those will open up again. Oh my God.
It's the Wynwood Cup.
Oh my God. I did not know that was coming. Oh, I wish Stalika would have been here for that.
All right. I think we need to move on to something else now.
Please move on.
That was awful. The survival board. How about that?
Yes.
Okay. This is the hoopshd.com survival board. David, it's a tool we make for the selection committee, correct?
Yeah. Yes. It tells them what they need to be doing, who they need to be selecting, who they need to be considering. And most people wonder, well, how does that work? Where does the committee get that information? From here, from this board.
Exactly. The teams are listed in four different ways on this board. One would be bold in all caps. That's an automatic bid winner. We don't have any of those yet.
Yeah.
Second would be regular bold, which is a team that is a lock. So if the committee wonders whether or not Clemson, especially they lost to Syracuse tonight, do they belong in even with that loss? The answer is yes, they're in.
They are in for sure.
Another designation is italics. That's a team that may or may not be in. So that's the teams they really have to debate. So if they come to the screen and they say, should Duke be in or not? They know they've got to debate Duke.
Yeah.
They should have a long talk about them. And that's a decision they'll have to make.
Yeah. We leave that up to them. We do not make up their minds for them when it comes to who they debate.
Right. When it comes to Boston College, though, if they wonder whether Boston College is an at-large caliber team, they can look here, see they're a regular type. The only way Boston College gets in is by winning an automatic bid.
And the reason they know that is because they see it on this board.
And if you are a team that's no longer on the board, say you're in the America East, your team is NJIT, you're gone. You should not even be mentioned or even thought about.
At all.
You will not be in the tournament. Sorry, NJIT. We love you, but
they're out.
Heading into today, David, there were 309 teams left with a shot to win the national championship. They were on this board in one fashion or another.
Mm-hmm.
As a result of five games today, as well as our final elimination of four teams from the Ohio Valley Conference that did not qualify for the tournament. We held off on that a couple of days in case there were any changes in the bracket. 300 teams remain.
Wow. Yeah. So down to an even 300. And if you know, congrats to all the teams that have made the final 300. As these teams come off the board, be sure and check out Brian Black or at 357 Jerseys for Hope.
That's right there waving at us right there on the screen.
Yeah, there he is. You know, give him a tweet, give him a follow, give him a retweet, help him out. And again, like today I donated $1 for every team that ND won to his little epilepsy awareness campaign.
That's great. Thank you so much for that, David. But that is our survival board. We have 300 teams remaining. We are still going at a snail's pace here.
Yes.
Even we got 9 off today, but it still is. We got to get down to 68 to get an NCAA tournament. A little more games finally coming tomorrow. We've gotten past kind of the feelers. It's only about one or two days of this kind of like little tease of championship weeks. And then things get serious. We went about 7 days of this little tease, but
well,
as you saw already from when we previewed, there's a lot of games tomorrow and even more every day from there on out until we get to the very end. So games will be picking up. We got a lot to do, a lot of games, but let's run down to our final feature of the night. How about that?
Yes. And I love that we're doing this year. It's the hot seat, the Hoops HD hot seat.
Yes. The hoopshd.com hot seat. We are talking about coaches who may be on the hot seat and may need to make sure that their team remains on that survival board a little longer than some others. We've mentioned John Calipari, Tony Bennett, Roy Williams.
Yeah.
Should we find out who's on the hot seat tonight, David?
We should. And again, these are coaches whose teams need to do really well this March, maybe to keep their job. So who is on the hot seat today?
On the hot seat today, and I don't think he's very happy about it from this picture. Oh, it's Scott Drew.
Scott Drew of Baylor. Aren't they supposed to be a one seed?
Well, David, you and I both know people that are big Indiana fans. Some of them follow us, or we follow them on Twitter and the like. I'm hearing a lot of rumblings that Indiana believes that it is going to be able to get Scott Drew to be their head coach next season. Obviously, if Scott Drew is going to be available to be a head coach at a job like Indiana, he's got to be in the hot seat where he is now.
Well, and that's problem number one. These rumblings, Baylor does not need to put up with that kind of disloyalty. I mean, you got to heat his seat up right now when you hear Indiana would like to hire him. The other thing is, really, Baylor did not have much of a basketball tradition. I don't think they've won I don't think they've been a first place finisher in over 70 years, or maybe it was 700 years or something like that. And there was a 50-year period before Scott Drew got there where there were no NCAA tournaments. And on top of that, when he first got there, they were recovering from the Dave Bliss fiasco, which was remarkable. We're not going to get into it.
And, one of the strongest probations the team has been put on since the SMU football death penalty. I mean, that is. Remember, they had a season that they were only allowed to play conference games even one season. But
The idea, like in 2005, that Baylor would be a national power was so absurd. I mean, it was preposterous. It would be like saying Northwestern is going to the Final Four. It just didn't even worse. It was even more ridiculous than that. But on top of that, like the other thing that I've noticed is that there just isn't any energy or electricity or interest around the team. Baylor having a lot of trouble filling its arena this year.
Yeah, I saw a home game the other day. I think I saw a couple of people sitting way in the upper levels, and that was it. Nobody there.
Right.
I think that they actually put some cardboard fans out just to pretend there were people there.
Just to make it look better on television.
Yeah, so I agree with you. Scott Drew definitely on the hot seat at Baylor. He's got to do a lot better. You know, maybe if he makes the Final Four, he'll have a shot to save his job.
Maybe so, yeah.
On that note, let's go ahead and pull this down. David, any other final thoughts from you on this for the evening?
No, like, again, while it's been sort of a slow drip, 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 and the full blast of the fire hose of championship week hasn't started yet, the games that we've had have been really enjoyable so far, and I hope that that continues. I think that it will.
It will. Hey, we've got the Wynwood Cup tomorrow. That's all I care about.
Yeah.
But on behalf of the puppet David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again tomorrow. Two podcasts tomorrow. We're going to be doing a bracket rundown show with the whole Hoops HD panel. Early evening, and then probably right around the same time late tomorrow night, we'll be doing another championship week video notebook. But thanks for joining us. Talk to you again tomorrow night.